Welcome to Awesome Talk, a production of Arkansas State University Mountain Home with support from KTLO. Hi, I'm Christy Kern, and I'll be introducing you to the awesome people and programs right here in our community on the campus of ASU Mountain Home.
Right, welcome to the first Title III podcast where we interview faculty, students, and staff at ASUMH. Our first guest for episode one is Annie Noblin. She is an English and Communications faculty here at ASUMH, as well as an author, mother, animal keeper, and among other things. So, how long have you been at ASUMH?
I think about 14 years.
14 years, and you're one of the newest hires, right, in the faculty department area, at least for your college?
Yes, definitely in English.
Wow, people really like to stay, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
Cool. So what classes do you teach?
I teach Composition 1, Composition 2. Once in a while, I get to teach creative writing, which is really fun. And then I teach oral communication.
Which of those is your favorite?
Probably Comp 2, because we focus really heavily on research, and I love that. The students don't usually love that, but I think it's really fun, and we get to talk about what is considered, you know, appropriate research. What does that look like? What does academic writing look like? And I am a nerd, so I think that's fun.
Okay, how do you try to make it interesting for your students? Because research, it can be, especially academic research, can be kind of daunting for a freshman.
We try to talk about topics that interest the class and students, so they get to pick their own topics for their research papers. There's a little bit of guidance, but they ultimately get to pick, so they get to focus on things that they're interested in, which I think also helps them focus a little bit more on research because they care about the topic and they want to, you know, present the best information.
So is there a favorite assignment from that class that you particularly like as well, or that you enjoy reading their submissions?
I like the one where students get to pick a figure, past or present, someone who existed or didn't exist, that they think changed the world for the better. So they can pick any person that they can research, but they don't have to be alive. They can be in the past, or it could be a literary figure. And I love seeing who the students pick because it's always different every single semester.
Wow. Any of them particularly stand out to you that you still remember to this day?
I got Aquaman one semester, and that was really fun.
Which Aquaman? Jason Momoa Aquaman comic book? Like, you know, the old, old comic books, 1980s type Aquaman? Or what was it?
It was like just in general, like DC Aquaman. Okay. I think it was before the movie came out, but this student was talking about how Aquaman was better than Batman. Okay. So it sparked a lot of debate in the class, and so we had a lot of fun talking about why Aquaman was better or why Batman was better, and it was just fun.
Okay, cool. All right, so another thing about you is you are an author, correct?
I am.
How many books have you written?
There have been 7 that are published. I finished my 8th novel in October, and it's in the process of copy editing right now. So technically, I've written 8, but only 7 have been published. The next one will be out like sometime later this year.
So barring some kind of world-ending catastrophe, you will make it to at least 8.
Barring the zombie apocalypse, we're good.
Okay, cool. What's it about?
It is about a bed and breakfast in Texas, and it's a Christmas novel. So it's about this woman who helps her aunt and uncle run this bed and breakfast in Texas, and they have a couple of corgis that they're obsessed with. So the place is called Corgi Cove, but they're getting ready to lose it to foreclosure.
Okay.
So, you know, sort of following along some romantic tropes, the big city guy comes in and tries to kind of take the cove away, and they have to figure out how they're going to save it.
Okay, neat. Do all your books follow this sort of storyline, or what'd you call it?
I feel like you're looking for the word cliche a little bit, but...
No, not at all. I mean, hey, genres of fiction and literature and movies and everything exist for a reason. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'd say they all most of them are set in small towns. Most of the time, it's sort of in the South, primarily Missouri and Arkansas, but again, this one is set in Texas. And it's usually about a woman who is starting over again in life or has to make some big decisions about her life and how she comes to terms with that, because that tends to be a reoccurring theme in my life. So I like to write about it.
Okay, so you've moved around a few
yes.
times and started over more than once.
This is the longest I've ever had a job in my life.
Well, I mean, 14 years is, I mean, it's a good amount of time, you know.
It's a long time, but I would say between like the year 2000 and 2010, when we moved back here, I'd lived in probably 15 different houses and two different states, you know, several different cities. And so there was a lot of moving around and starting over as a theme in my life. And even when we moved back here, I've lived in three different houses. So there's always that sort of shuffling around trying to figure out what's going to work.
Okay. So, like all great writers, you do draw on some personal experience.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely write what you know,
write
for sure.
Oh, you know, folks. And you have a funny story that I really like. How did you get around to writing your first novel?
So, the year was 2012. And the most popular book in the country was 50 Shades of Grey. And all of my students were reading this book. And generally speaking, students, they don't talk about the books they read, even in English classes. And a lot of students will say, well, I don't read for pleasure. You know, I don't enjoy it. But all of my female students were reading this book. And they were talking about it. And they were going on and on about it. So I thought, okay, I better read it. So I read it over... gosh, I don't know. It was some kind of break that we had. And I thought, if this person can get a book deal with this book that is fun, but maybe not written so fantastically, then I can definitely get a book deal. So I had an idea in my head that I'd had in my head for several years. I just sat down. I was like, I'm going to write it and see where it goes.
And how long did that take?
The initial writing process took about 6 months, but then I, of course, had to do a lot of editing and outlining, things like that, do a rewrite or two. So probably about 9 months in total before I decided I was going to try to find somebody to buy it.
Okay. And how long did that finding a buyer process take then?
Well, first I had to find a literary agent, and that took a few months and a lot of rejection. And then my literary agent started sending it out to, you know, publishing houses, the big ones where you can't submit it yourself. You have to have an agent to do it. And we got a lot of rejection, and I had to do some work and some rewrites. And that whole process took about a year from finding my literary agent to actually selling it. It was right around a year.
So we're at like a year and 9 months now from sort of beginning
inception
to...
And then, so I wrote the book in 2012, and then it didn't publish until 2015. So there's a lot of there's a lot of time, especially with the first one.
Wow, so 3 years from inception to hitting the shelves.
Exactly. That's why writers are poor.
And that was your first book. What was it called?
Sit, Stay, Speak. And it is not a book about how to make your animals behave. It's not a training book. Don't come to me asking for animal advice.
Does it have a lot of, like... upset reviews on Amazon because people thought that they were getting a dog training manual, and then it...
Yes, there are a couple.
Oh, there really?
There are a couple, and then there are a couple of people who thought it was a children's book, even though it's very clearly a novel. And then there were people who were upset because the dog in the book is a black and white pit bull terrier, and the dog on the cover is a blue pit bull, and so they were upset about the discrepancy between...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot. Readers, yes.
So it's coming from all sides. There are people that
didn't
know what they were getting into when they bought it.
The
majority, there are people that don't like the fact that the dog depicted on the cover is not the dog
depicted. They really don't like that. It messes with them.
Wow.
They're not fans. So I try to make sure that, you know, the covers of my books go along with what actually happens in the book. Otherwise, people don't like that.
So is there a whole process then for choosing the cover of the book that is... goes back and forth, or
the art team will get a description of the book from my editor, and they'll kind of, you know, maybe some of them have read it. I don't know how that works, but then they make a couple of examples or like mock-ups, and they send them to my editor who sends them to me, and then I sort of decide, yeah, this is the one that I like. So I get several options, and then they, then once I pick one, then they sort of like clean it up and make it prettier, and yeah.
Yeah, and but now you know, you learned early on that you got to be careful to make sure that.
Yes.
So do the two corgis that are going to be on the front of Christmas in Corgi Cove, do they physically match
they
the
physically
descriptions?
They do.
Oh, thank heavens.
Yes, they do.
We're going to avoid that one at least.
Not going to be a problem.
Great. That's good to hear. So back, let's back up again a little bit. So you, how do you go about starting to write a book?
Usually I come up with I have an idea for a book, and it'll just sort of pop into my head when I'm doing something completely random, like playing a video game or exercising or something. And I will, if it sticks, if it stays in my head and I continue to think about it, then I will begin to sort of develop it by writing it down and writing ideas down. And I know that it's a good idea or something that I want to write about, because if I go to bed thinking about it, then I know this is something that I should, you know, continue to think about. And then I just start making notes, usually in my phone. And then from there, I start outlining in a Word document and kind of create basically like an outline, a synopsis for the book.
Do you know where your books are going to end or what the sort of resolution is going to be when you start? Or
sometimes.
Okay, and other times the characters and everything, the action just sort of.
Yes, and I'm supposed to know, because after the second book that I wrote, now my editor will buy a book based on the synopsis. So I have to tell you basically the grand scheme of everything, even how it ends.
Okay.
And then I can write the book. Well, the problem with that is things change, and sometimes what I say I'm going to do is not actually what happens. And the only one time has it been that, like, I wrote this book that had nothing to do with the synopsis, and I turned it into my agent, and I was like, look, this is not the book that I sold, so I need you to read it, and if you, you know, if you think that it's better than the synopsis that we, you know, originally started with, then let's send it on to the editor. And she's like, yeah, I think this is good. I think we want to keep it, but you're going to have to write a whole new synopsis because it doesn't match.
Right.
But that's only happened once.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you do have to have a little bit of an idea.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. So you have a lot of pets, I understand.
Yeah, I do.
What pets do you have?
Well, actually, I don't have nearly as many as I used to. So I only have one dog at the moment. We have a pug. His name is Kirby. And then we have three cats inside. Three. But where I live, the city doesn't take care of, like, feral cats like they do stray dogs. So I also feed the outside cats and get them as often as I can, like, spayed and neutered so that they don't, you know, have a bunch of babies running around, because we have a big problem with feral cats in my town. So I say I only have, like, four pets. Plus we have an axolotl. I forgot about Cosmo.
And describe for our listeners what an axolotl is, in case they may not be familiar.
They're salamanders, but instead of evolving like salamanders do to, like, have legs and be able to go on land, axolotls basically stay in that, like, teenage state where they can only be in the water, and they don't ever actually go on land, and they have these little fluffy gills that are really cute.
Look them up, folks, if you don't know what an axolotl is.
They're really cute, and they're really fun pets, but he's not a lot of work. So when I was thinking about the pets that I have, I left him out accidentally.
Yeah, you know, reptiles usually don't require the same amount of TLC as a mammal does.
No, he basically just wants a worm every day, and he's good to go.
So I think Annie would also recommend that you all spay and neuter your pets.
Yes, please. Please.
She can't buy any more cat food, folks.
I can't, no.
She can't afford it. She's got kids.
I go through like 30 pounds of cat food a week.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I only feed once a day in the mornings. And especially right now, it's kitten season. So we've got all pregnant cats running around. And I had one spayed last week. But there are like three more that just showed up that are pregnant. And I know I'm going to have a porch full of kittens, so. Please
help me. If you want a kitten,
yes,
please contact Miss Noblin.
Contact me. There will be so many. So many.
All right. So one last question. Well, and really it comes in four parts. I want you to give our listeners four recommendations.
Oh, no.
Something to listen to, something to watch, something to read, and something to do.
Okay, something to watch.
Yeah.
Everybody should watch The Last of Us on HBO. The whole season just finished up a couple weeks ago, so you can binge the entire thing.
Yeah.
And it is actually a great adaptation of a game, and I think most people who are gamers would say that TV or movie adaptations for games are terrible.
Most have been.
Yes, but this one is really, really, really good. And I'm not just saying that because Pedro Pascal is in it. Like, it's good.
He is a great actor.
He's a beautiful man, but this show is actually really good, so I think everybody should watch it. Something to read?
Yeah.
I'm trying
Other
to think.
Than your novels.
Well, obviously.
But do read our novels too, folks.
Yeah, for sure. Do that. I'm trying to think what I've read lately, and now I'm completely drawing a blank. The last book I read was The Society of Irregular Witches, and it was really cute. There's a little bit of like romantic comedy in there, a little bit of fantasy. It's British, so like, you know, that's really fun. I like to read. I like to listen to on audiobook things from the UK or from Scotland because I think it's fun.
You like the accents?
Yeah, I like the accents.
Yeah.
But there's a little something for everyone in that book. So I would say that might be a good one to read. I just finished it, so it's the first one that came to mind.
Okay. What something else? To listen to.
Something to listen to. Always listen to Taylor Swift.
Always listen to Taylor Swift.
Yes. My child loves it when we get in the car in the morning to go to school at 7 a.m. and I'm just blasting Taylor Swift. It's his favorite thing. He's 12 and it doesn't embarrass him at all.
So he's a boy and he's on Team Tay-Tay. Fantastic. And then something to do.
Something to do. Man.
Something exciting.
I don't have anything exciting.
Nothing? Nothing in West Plains?
Not really. Nothing exciting that I know of that's happening that you should just go do just for the heck of it. I don't know. Is anything interesting happening here?
There is a gun show this weekend in Mountain Home.
Okay.
At the fairgrounds, I believe. I've seen signs on my commute.
Okay.
But, you know, I live in an even more isolated area than you who live in West Plains. You have a wild-looking movie theater, at least.
Yeah, it's not too bad. We've got, like, six cinemas. So go to a movie.
Go to the movies.
Play some video. I'm playing a lot of Call of Duty right now.
Playing a lot of Call of Duty, okay. Know. Well, there you go. Play video games,
play
guys.
Video games.
Your instructor endorses it.
I do, absolutely.
Okay, and you play Call of Duty?
Yeah, a lot. Like, an embarrassing amount.
Which platform do you use? Are you PS4, Xbox, PC Master Race? What are we talking about?
I use the PS5, but my husband and son, who are computer gamers, think that PCs are way better, and they're much more superior than, you know, the lowly PS5. But I prefer a controller.
Console gamers.
I can't do the keyboard and the mouse. I can't figure it out. My brain doesn't work that way. I need a controller.
Yeah. I'm an Xbox user, so.
Okay. All right. So I'm not speaking with someone who thinks they're elite.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Not looking down my nose at you because of that right now. But
right now.
For other things, yeah. No. Oh, man. I really appreciate it, Annie. Thank you so much. And, folks, don't forget to check out Christmas at Corgi Cove in a bookstore near you this October?
Probably September.
Yeah. We don't have an official release date yet.
No, not yet. We won't probably until this summer.
Okay, great. Yeah. But check it out this fall. It'll be out in time for Christmas.
Woohoo.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Awesome Talk. We're so excited to tell you about the great things going on our campus. And if you know someone who's awesome that you'd like to hear more about or from, please contact me at ASU Mountain Home and let me know who that is, and we'll try to get them on a show. I am Christy Kern. I'm at 508-6109, and I would love to hear from you. If you need more information about getting started at ASUMH, you can visit our website at asumh.edu.
This has been Awesome Talk, a production of ASU Mountain Home.